for my life.
Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. And I give you praise and glory for the hearers that are here today. And I thank you for them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. All right. We began talking about praying through your problems, and we gave seven steps. Now, because you are behaving yourselves, I will not give you an examination today. Next week, we don't know. All right. So I will go over for you what we talked about previously, and then we'll lead on into the next step. I think we've already covered three steps, so we got four more to go. So that means four more weeks of this, and then y'all will be free from this particular lesson. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But let me say something very quick about purity. I was talking with Sister Michelle. She's in the hospital with Lisa. That's why she's not here today. But she was saying, she was thanking me. And this is what I really appreciate when people, I know that people are listening to us. You know, sometimes I can see y'all faces and you don't look like you're listening. But then when somebody comes back and tells me something, then I feel better. But she was telling me, she said, you know, Pastor, I really thank God for you and Pastor Mary and y'all preaching on purity. So, you know, you'd be encouraged by that, Pastor Mary. She said, I really appreciate it because there's so much temptation out there. And so she really appreciated the teaching on these things. So when we teach you these type of things, remember that it's we're not trying to be legalistic, or we're not trying to keep you from having fun or anything like that. We're trying to protect you from what Satan is trying to do to you, which is destroy your life. Praise God. Amen. Purity will keep you protected from the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
It keeps you. You can't blame Satan if you're going to fall into his trap. And you've been warned about his trap. Praise God. Amen. All right. I'll say that's all I'm going to say on purity today. But we're going to be, one of the things we're going to be doing in the Bible study is teaching you about how to be free from all types of sin and all types of bondage, how you can get free from all of that, how you can walk in purity, how you can walk sin free, praise God. Don't let nobody tell you that, don't let nobody mislead you and tell you that you have to sin. You don't have to sin. Now, have I arrived yet? No, I still make mistakes, praise God. But I ain't doing what I used to do, hallelujah. And I know that I can walk free, completely free, from temptation and sin. I'm not quite there yet, but I've gotten better than I used to be. And so I want you to be encouraged too. If you're still struggling in some areas, just be a part of the Bible studies and we will help you to walk better in these things in life. And remember, God loves you in spite of that. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, as far as the lessons we talked about, we gave the first step. I'm just going to ask, anybody remember what the first step was? Don't feel embarrassed if you don't. Anybody remember the first thing?
Don't blame God.
I knew Pastor Mary was going to say it. Don't blame God. Or be careful not to make God the source of your problem. Praise God. Mm-hmm. He ain't the one that did it to you. He's on your side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Brother Emmanuel just sung a song for us earlier that God, I'm on God's side and he's on my side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if God is on your side, he's not the one causing your problems. It's Satan that causes you problems. Now, in the world, you will suffer tribulation. So just because you got faith or you've been praying don't mean you're going to be problem free. Glory to God. You have a recourse to go to when problems do come, and they will come. There is no such thing as praying to have a problem-free life. The only way to pray to have a problem-free life is to pray to die and go to heaven. And you're too young for that. I don't want to do any more funerals. I hate doing funerals. I love doing weddings. Can't stand doing funerals. Don't want no more. So don't pray and die to go to heaven. We need you here. Praise God. All right, anybody remember what the second thing was?
Identify a problem.
Identify the problem accurately. Pastor Mary, you getting an A so far. The rest of y'all, we're not going to grade you. But you won't graduate either. So the first thing is, don't blame God. The second thing is, identify the problem accurately. If you go to the doctor, you want the doctor to be able to give you the right medicine. Amen?
Yes.
Well, see, then you can't tell the doctor, I have a headache, when your real problem is with your stomach. Praise God.
Amen.
When you go to God, you need to, when you want to pray and get something from God, you need to be specific with him. Therefore, you need to identify what your problem really is. Not just the symptoms of your problem, but you need to get before God and let the Holy Spirit lead you as to exactly what the problem is. Before you go to prayer, you must learn to examine thoroughly your situation. Too many times we just jump into prayer and we scream and holler and ask God to help us when we don't really know what we're asking God to do for us in the first place. So we must learn to stop being lazy. See, I'm teaching you things to keep you from being lazy. You find out the prayer, if you really want answers to prayer, it takes some work. Praise God. And so I don't know about you, but I'm willing to work to get answers. Because when I get answers, then I get blessed. Praise Jesus. And I'm happy. I like being happy. All right. Anybody remember what the third thing was? Yar.
I think I might, but I could be wrong. Is it find a scripture?
You did a good job, sweetheart. All right, you get the head of the class of your mother, praise God. But no, wait a minute, you didn't answer my Facebook friend request, so you get back in the, you go back into that. No. No. Yara is absolutely right. You find the scripture or find the promise. Find a corresponding promise in which God has pledged to deal with the problem. Glory to God. So those the first three things we talked about. Don't blame God. Because it's hard to go to prayer and ask God to help you when you think he's the one caused you the problem in the first place. I don't know about you, but that's difficult for me. If I do go to prayer because I think God caused me the problem, I'm going to him to complain about what he's doing. Why you do this to me, God? See, that's not helping me. I need to know that God is not at fault for what happened to me so that I can go to him and get him to rescue me from what I'm going through. Praise God. And the second thing is that I need to, before I go to God, I really need to find out what my problem is. And the third thing is, I need to know that God has actually pledged to help me with the problem, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I need to know what God's word says, so that my faith can be built, so that when I go to God, then I will know that he will actually do something because he said it in his word that he would do it in the first place. And that brings me to the fourth point, or the fourth step, or the fourth principle, whatever you want to call it. Number four, strengthen your faith further by meditating on passages of scripture that teach us about God's character and nature. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me repeat that. Strengthen your faith further by meditating on passages of scripture that teach us about God's character and nature. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, the Bible describes God's character in so many ways and in so many places. But let's look at a couple of them. Let's look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. See, if I don't know anything about God's character, if I'm confused about the truth about his nature, then I'll have a difficult time really knowing him or getting to know him or going to him in the first place. See, God is the object of my faith, praise God.
Amen.
It is not faith in faith. It is not faith in my ability to become super spiritual and get things done. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are some people that have made the statement faith in faith, but that is not what they didn't mean it that way. They didn't mean that you have to have faith in an abstract faith. What they were talking about is you need to believe God for yourself. Praise God. But, you know, some of the critics have twisted it to make it sound like that they were teaching you need to have faith in actual faith. And that's not what any of the faith teachers have ever taught or said. What they are talking about is what I'm talking about, is being able to know that you can trust God for yourself and not relying on me to get answers to prayer for you, praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I get a little, I don't want to say discouraged, just a little frustrated, because people want me to pray for them. And I have no problems doing that. I love praying for people, and I love praying with people, because I know that together we can get answers to prayer. But sometimes people are depending more on me to get the answer for them than they are on God himself, praise God. In other words, they seem to think that Pastor Troy is super spiritual, he's got all this great faith, and he can make it, and if anybody can get an answer to prayer for me, he can. Let me tell you something, God loves you just as much as he loves me. He loves you just as much as he loves me. Now, I would love to think that God loves me more than he loves you, but I just know it ain't true. But I mean, I would love to think I'm his special child. I would love to think that he just thinks so highly of me and thinks so, I like them a little bit, but Troy, you're my main man. I would like to think he does that, but I know he doesn't. Because I talk to him, and I hear his voice, and he's always telling me how much he loves each one of you, praise God.
Amen.
He expresses so much how he loves you, and he always expresses how I need to ensure that I shepherd y'all and love y'all the way he loves you, and I get rebuked when I even think negative thoughts about you, praise God.
Amen.
So I know he loves you so much. So you got to learn to grasp and understand the fact that he loves you so much, praise God. And you've got to get that in your system and learn his character, learn his nature, learn that he will never turn. He's not like your fair weather friends. He won't turn on you. In your worst times, in your toughest times, he'll be there for you, praise God. When everybody else has ran away from you, when everybody else if you sin, and everybody else said, oh, see, you blew it. We leaving now. Goodbye. He will still be there for you, praise God. He'll be there when you smell good. He'll be there when you smell bad. What a gracious God. What a good God. Hallelujah. Now, have you found Titus yet?
Yeah.
Well, wait for me to get there. Titus, that's right after 2 Timothy. Titus. Chapter 1. Begin at verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as you're building your faith, and so that you can be able to go to God in prayer and expect answers from God, then you need to understand something about God's nature. And you need to understand that God cannot lie. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Pastor Troy, still being human, Pastor Troy can lie. Amen?
Amen.
I can promise you something and have no intentions of really doing it for you, because you might just be getting on my nerves. You might just be bugging me. And I'll be saying, okay, I'll take care of it, all right? Leave it alone. And you'll say, oh, Pastor Troy said he's going to do it for me. Praise God. And you go home all happy, and I go home and I have forgot about the whole thing. And then you call me a week later. Didn't you say you were going to do that? No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You got proof? No. Well, then, you're wrong. Click. When my kids try to bring a promise that I made before them, I say, you got a recording of that? No. Well, then, how do you know I really said it? I know when I promise them. I just mess with them. But but the thing is that I could easily fail you, praise God.
Amen.
But I want you to see that God is, he's not a man that he should lie. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 23. I want you to see that God is he's just not like us. He's better. He's so much better. Numbers 23. I didn't even have this in my notes, but I don't know why I didn't, but we're gonna go to it anyway. Numbers is in the Old Testament. It's like the third book. You go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Yeah, Leviticus, then Numbers. Yeah, the fourth book. 23:19 Yes, Pastor Mary got it. She got the right passage. Numbers 23:19 I think y'all familiar with this. I've probably preached on this passage. I don't know how many times. But you know what? Familiarity is not always a good thing. You need to really get a revelation of it. All right. Numbers 23:19 God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is not like you and me, praise God. He's not fallible. He has no ability to sin. Somebody said, well, doesn't God have a free will? Of course he does. Well, can't God choose to sin? No. You know why? Having a free will does not mean that you can make choices that will put you in bondage. Amen? Mm-hmm. And sin puts you in bondage. God cannot be put in bondage. Amen. And see, if God was to lie, then he would be put in bondage to sin. Praise God.
Yes.
And so God cannot sin. He just cannot lie. He can't do anything that's contrary to his nature.
Amen.
And so that's the good thing. See, God is holy. He's righteous. He's nothing but holiness and righteousness. There's just not an inkling, not a spot of sin in him, praise God.
Amen.
See, I was born in sin. I was created in iniquity. I mean, you know, my mother and father, when they birthed me, I was in iniquity. I had to get born again, and I had to still develop in order to stop doing some of the things I was doing before I got saved, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm still working on issues in my life. Now, I ain't got as many issues as you have. So I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, y'all. But see, I still have to work on issues just like you do. But God, he ain't got no issues. Oh, he's totally free of sin. So you can trust him. You can trust the fact that God will not lie. He will not let you down. If he says he's going to do something, he said, I'm not like you. He's not trying to insult you. He was trying to build your faith. He wasn't trying to insult you when he said, I'm not a man that I should lie. That wasn't an insult. He was trying to help you understand that I'm just not a human being that just changes my mind on a whim. And when I say I'm going to do something, I really mean it, and I will take care of it for you, praise God.
Amen.
See, I like that. See, sometimes we read the Bible in such a negative fashion, but I've learned to read it in a positive fashion. I've learned to say when God says he's not a man that he should lie, I say glory to God, because so many men have lied to me.
Mm.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And I, in turn, have lied to too many people. So, now listen, y'all. I now endeavor, at least for the past 20-something years, I've endeavored to keep my word to people. I've endeavored to keep my, that's why I try to watch it what I say, because I'm trying so much to be like my father. If I make a promise, I feel obligated to it now. If I say I'm going to do something, I feel obligated to do it. Because I know that I got an answer to the man, to Jesus. So I know that if me being a fallible human being, if I make a promise and I feel committed to it, how much more God, who is infallible, praise God.
Amen.
So God is not a man. He's not a human being. He's not the type of person that will let you down. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Going back to the New Testament. Verse 23. See, as you come to know these things about God, you know that he's committed to what he says. You begin to know he really loves you dearly. I mean, these things will build your faith, praise God. And see, I won't have to come here and preach to you and tell you need to stop sinning, because you won't want to sin no more. Hallelujah. Amen. See, because I love God, I don't want to go out and commit adultery. Praise God. Because I love God, I don't want to lust after other women. Praise God. Amen. I'm still human. You know, women are I find women attractive. But I've learned to say, hey, I love him. Praise God. Amen. But I don't want to watch certain things on TV. As a matter of fact, we don't even hardly turn the TV on anymore. Except to look at weather reports now. I can't even stand the news anymore. The news makes me mad. Yeah. I'm telling you, amen, Radimus. But that was good news that you put on your Facebook page the other day. I like that. About the policeman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Let me tell y'all the story real quick. And if I got it wrong, Rad can correct me later. But I think it was a policeman was outside his door and stopped some woman. And she didn't have a license or something like that?
You want me to tell it real quick?
Yeah, tell it real quick. Right.
So I look out my window, and the police had somebody pulled over in the front. And so I went outside, and I was just standing there, and I was kind of just hanging out with my cousin. And he was talking to the lady, and they went back to the car, and he came back, and he said, you know I'm supposed to arrest you. And he was like, you don't have no license. Your car is not registered. These are the wrong plates. I'm supposed to take your plates, tow your car, arrest you. You know, he was like, but I know you got family at home. She turned out to be, she was a single mom. She had four kids at home. And I don't know this yet. This is what he's telling to her. He's like, I'm supposed to do this, that, and the third. He said, but I'm going to let you go. And the lady was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And boom, and she left. And she started pulling off. And the cop went to go back to the car. And I said, man, that was really cool, man, what you did. He said, well, you heard all that? I said, yeah, a little bit. And he was like, and then he told me about her. He said, man, she's a single mom. You know, she's working. She's just a nurse. She's never been in trouble. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Ruin her whole life? Like, ruin her. And I was like, man, that was what's up, man.
That was beautiful right there. Yeah. That was beautiful. So, so I know some of the stuff I said that a couple weeks ago that was kind of hard, where I said, if I was a cop, I'd arrest you if you did wrong.
Me?
Yeah. No, I said that, baby. I said, if you went over a certain speed limit, I would give you a ticket, no questions asked. But in cases like that, that was beautiful. Praise God. There's no need to ruin this lady's life. So there are some good people out there, some good policemen out there. And I thought that, and when I read that, I said, man, that was a beautiful story. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, there's certain things I don't watch TV, because you don't hear a lot of this stuff on TV. All you hear about is somebody killed somebody, or somebody raped somebody, or somebody done somebody wrong. You know, it's just like that country song comes to my head. Hey, I want you play another somebody done somebody wrong song. You know, it's so much wrong going on. So much evil, as Pastor Hardy was saying earlier. So much evil in this world. If I was to watch that stuff, it'd be so discouraging. So I've learned to stay more in this book than I do on that television. Praise God.
Amen.
Or as David Wilkerson used to call it, the Babylonian idiot box. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast our confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Praise God.
Amen.
When God makes a promise, he cannot lie about it, and he will remain faithful to his promise. Glory to God.
Amen.
He will not turn back from his promise. He will. He has integrity. He is steadfast. He is trustworthy. He will not let you down. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 21. I want you to see something else about God's character and God's nature that just ought to encourage you. See, if I didn't know these things about God, y'all would not see me right now. Y'all wouldn't even know who Pastor Troy was. Because I would have, if I had started the work that we started, that we're going through, if I had started this church, I don't care how many times Pastor Hardy and Norman would have visited me, I would have quit real soon. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But it's because I know I've learned these things over 30 years. Was so close to 30 years ago, I learned about God's character. I learned about his nature. I learned about his love. And it's these things that have kept me going. It is these things that have kept me obedient to him. It is these things that have, when I was in tough and tight situations, I was able to get out of because I learned that my God will come through for me. Praise God. Amen. I know there's been times when I've been tempted to call a human being and I would say no. If God can't do this for me, then nobody else can, praise God. I mean, I've been in some tight situations, Jack. Y'all heard some of my stories. I've told you some things. Haven't told you everything. You know, my wife told me don't tell all the testimonies. You got to save some for other messages. So, she don't want y'all getting bored. So, you know, you'll hear other stories about how God has had to rescue me in some very tough situations. But, it's because of these promises. It's because of the fact that I've learned about God's character and nature that I'm able to trust him no matter what happens in my life. Hallelujah. And so Romans chapter 4 verse 21, it says, this is talking about Abraham when he was in an impossible situation. Let's start with verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, Abraham didn't waver. He didn't go back and forth. He wasn't like some of us. Oh, I trust God. And then circumstances don't change. I don't know anymore. No, he didn't stagger at the promise of God. Praise God. Amen. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Say fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
You and I got to get fully persuaded. Amen. We got to get fully persuaded about God. That's why we're having this teaching today. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So God, number one, is not a liar. He's a God of integrity. Number two, God is faithful. He's trustworthy. He won't let you down. Number three, God is able. Say God is able.
God is able.
Say God is able.
God is able.
Amen. We sing that song and it's been, and it's our theme for the year 2014. What is so hard in your life that God cannot do for you? What is so hard in your life that God cannot do? What is so hard, man?
What is so hard
in your life that God cannot do for you? What is so hard in your life that God cannot do? Praise God. See, ever since Brother Manuel introduced that song here, man, I've just fallen in love with that song. And it helps. See, you need to learn. If you can't memorize scripture, learn some of the songs that are based on scripture, like this song, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. If you can't memorize Romans chapter 4, verse 21, just begin saying to yourself when you're in a tough situation, what is so hard that God cannot do? See, I may make a promise to you, just using the fallible me again. I might make a promise to you, and I may mean it, I may have every intention of fulfilling that promise, praise God. And you know me to be a man of integrity. You know me to be a man that is faithful to his word. But sometimes there might be circumstances that may stop me from fulfilling that promise. Praise God. For example, I may have promised to visit you yesterday in the evening. And I had every intention of doing it. But then as I was getting ready to go out, it started the snowstorm. And because of the snowstorm, that hindered my ability to come visit you. Praise God. Amen. Now, God, snowstorms can't stop him. Hurricanes can't stop him. There is no circumstance that can stop God. See, my ability to keep my promises are limited. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's ability to keep his promises, unlimited. So God is able to do anything. See, you don't have to worry when God has made a promise. You don't have to worry. I wonder if God's going to be able to really do that. You don't have to worry about about it. God is able to do it. He's able to do anything you could ever ask or think. Praise God.
Amen.
And so when God makes a promise, not only does he mean it, not only will he be faithful to it, but he has the divine power and ability to carry through exactly what he said he would do. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So you can have complete and utter confidence in Almighty God to do exactly what he says. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to show you a couple more scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138 will show you exactly how David prayed and the expression of confidence that David had in his God. King David. See, this is why we teach you the Word of God, so that you will be able to put it into practice in your own personal life. And hopefully in your own personal ministry, glory to God. Because God has called each and every one of you to be ministers. He didn't just call me and Pastor Hardy, glory to God.
Amen.
You know, yes, Pastor Hardy and I have been called to be into a pastoral ministry. He didn't just call Pastor Mary and Pastor Steve, praise God.
Yes.
He's called all of you to be ministers. My job as a pastor, Pastor Hardy's job, Pastor Mary, Pastor Steve's job, our job is to help build you up to become better ministers. Glory to God.
Amen.
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 Amen. You read Ephesians chapter 4. And this is part of teaching you, is helping you, because you're going to be able to reach people I can't reach. And I've said this before, if somebody's in a panic and they're going through a situation on your job and they don't know Jesus and they come to you with the panic, if you panic with them, they ain't going to have much confidence in your God after that.
Mm.
Praise God.
Amen.
They come to you and say, you know, sister, I got a problem. I don't know what to do. And you say, oh, yeah, I don't know what you're going to do about that either. I don't know. You know, my Aunt Lucy went through that and she died. You want to come to church with me next Sunday? I seriously doubt they're going to come. Praise God. But when you pray with somebody, when you say, hey, yeah, I know you're going through, that sounds tough, sister, but God can get you through that. You want me to pray with you right now? Let's pray. Come on. Come in. Praise God. I've done that with many people. I've taken them outside. You know, I prayed with them. Martha, you had a testimony.
Like
yeah, go ahead, baby.
Yesterday, Noe came out of the room and she was crying. So I said, why are you crying? She said there was something on the internet. She said this guy, he decided to put himself on fire. He bought a gasoline and he put himself on fire and he saw a group of people standing out. So he went in the morning, he was saying, oh, I'm going to put myself on fire. I'm going to put myself on fire. So everyone in this side running away. So one of the guy came. He said, no. You can't put yourself on fire. Let's pray. We got to pray right now. We got to pray. And this is a guy that didn't know God. And he was trying to help the other guy not to put himself on fire.
That's beautiful. Praise God.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a good interference right there. I like stuff like that. That was beautiful. Praise God. Amen. When Nerwin comes in here, I'm going to give her a rub on the head for that. That was beautiful. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about, y'all. When somebody's going through a crisis, you are God's agent in order to save them. Amen.
Amen.
God has millions of angels, but you notice he usually don't send an angel all the time.
No.
You know who he sends?
Yes.
You and me, us, as Yara said, us. He sends us. So we need to learn, if we're going to be God's agents, we need to learn to have that confidence in God that he's going to back us up, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so people need to know that somebody is there to represent God with all the evil in the world. You don't want to go to these crazy Hollywood stars and worship them. They are crazy. I'm telling you, they're nuts. Some of these singers and stuff now, They are satanic worshipers. Every time I turn around, somebody's coming out of the closet. Somebody's confessing that, you know, I've been ashamed to say I was a lesbian, but now I'm a lesbian. Really, come on. And then our president, the one some of y'all voted for, because he's black.
Now president.
Yeah. Some of y'all voted for him. I didn't, but he's still my president. But then our president will call this person up and celebrate with them. Oh, I'm so glad you came out of the closet. God bless you. God bless Planned Parenthood. I mean, come on, this world is demonic, praise God. Amen. You can't rely on this world. The debt ceiling is going up all the time. We're going into debt over $1 million every single day. You can't rely on this government. You're to pray for the government, praise God.
Amen.
You're to pray for, you should pray for these Hollywood stars, but don't waste your money watching their movies and endorsing their TV programs. Don't waste your dollars on that foolishness. Stop worshiping these guys. Worship your God. Learn about him. Get in this book and find out what your God is like. Now I know this is, when I started stepping on y'all television watching, I'm almost scared I might lose you.
Speak that truth.
Yes, amen, I will. I hope I see you next week. All right, Psalm 138, let me stop stepping on your toes for right now. More toe stepping next week. All right. I will begin at verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word. Listen to this. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Praise God.
Amen.
See, notice he said, I will praise thee for thy loving kindness. See, David is praying and praising God for his character and his nature. Praise God.
Amen.
David could go to God in confidence because he knew something about God's character. He knew that God had loving kindness. And then he knew that God had truth. Praise God.
Amen.
That word truth, from what I understand from reading the commentaries, it means God's promises, praise God.
Amen.
It's similar to the word amen, which means God has promised or what he said, it must come to pass. So David said, I'm praising you for your love towards me and for your promises and the fact that, listen to this, you have magnified, you have placed your word even above your very name or reputation, praise God.
Amen.
God says that my word is so valuable to me. My name is powerful, but my word is even above all of that. Glory to God.
Amen.
And then verse 3, he goes on to say, in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So when you know God, when you know who he is, when you know his character, when you know his nature, you can expect genuine answers to prayer.
Amen.
You can expect God to answer you when you are confident in his character and his nature. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, I can go to God because I know he loves me. I know he loves me. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of y'all, I'm not talking about y'all. When I say y'all, I'm talking y'all general. But there's some people I can go to, and I don't know whether I should go to them that day because they might be in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are moody.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, man, is this a good time for me to go to that person? That's because they don't have any genuine love. Praise God.
Amen.
Most of them may say. But with God, he don't have a bad day. Oh yeah, God has emotions. He might be hurt or anything like that. But that doesn't stop, just because he might be hurt or upset about something, it doesn't mean that's not the time you can't talk to him, praise God. Because he will still open the door for you.
Amen.
you knocking on the door. God might be sad about something that happened in the world, something that hurt him. But if you knocking on the door, he'll wipe his tears and say, "Come on in, child. What you need from me? What you need from daddy?" That's the kind of God you have. Praise God.
Amen.
He's a loving, kind God. So when you cry to him, he will answer.
Amen.
He will answer. But you got to know him. You got to know something about him. Well, let's look at one more scripture. We're going to cook, and then we'll close out from here. Turn backwards to Psalm 89. Are you learning anything today?
Mm-hmm.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Glory to God. All right. Psalm 89. This is David again. He shall cry unto me. This is God talking about David. He shall cry unto me. Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Praise God. We'll stop right there. Look at this. God is telling David, if you understand me, you understand that I'm your Father, that I'm your God, that I'm the rock of your salvation. When you understand about my mercy, then you can cry unto me and you can expect an answer. Praise God.
Amen.
God wants to do great things for you and me. Actually, let's jump down here real quickly to verse 33. I want you to see this in verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." Praise God.
Amen.
God explains to David his character, his nature, his covenant. God says, "My loving kindness, I won't take from him. My faithfulness will not fail." Man, if you really grasp this truth about God, you don't let the devil steal this from you when you walk out the door, then you will be a faith giant the moment you leave here. Praise God.
Amen.
These are the truths that make people of great faith. Daniel put it this way. He said, "They who know their God shall be strong and do exploits."
Amen.
See, the people, you read about great men, you read about Billy Graham. You read about George Mueller. He built an orphanage and had to believe God for millions of dollars a day. You read about great men of faith like that. The simple secret to their faith was they knew their God. They knew their God. When you know your God, you'll be strong. You want great faith? Get to know God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Great things he has done.
Greater things, my God,
unto our God be the glory.
Great things he has done.
Great things
he has done. Greater